You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me for the last time on this show is...
Charlene Schmidt. And you said that right, for the last time on this show. Because we're going to be doing another show called Punch It, which is out now!
That's right, Punch It is available right now. If you're listening to our voices, you can download and subscribe and stream Punch It on your tablets, phones, whatever. And you can go to thenerdparty.com/punchit. And from there, you'll have access to 3 episodes. That's right, 3 episodes. Not one, not two, but 3 right off the bat. And so please give us a subscription, give us a listen, give us a test. And if you even really like us, give us a review. And we're just so happy to be able to provide this for you. But at the same time, we want you to stay with To the Journey, because this is not the end of To the Journey. Even if it's the end of Charlene and I's association with the show, it's not the end of the show.
That's right. This is the end of our tenure. However, at some point in the future, there's going to be a new crew aboard the USS Voyager in the mess hall, just as we were. And that's going to be really exciting. Right now, we don't have too much information about that. We don't know who's going to come in and when that's going to happen. But I'm sure as that information comes out, we will know at the appropriate time. You know what? All that's really left for us to do right now is do our last show. This is it!
Let's talk some Voyager. But like in reference to that new show and everything like that, please keep an eye on facebook.com/trekfm. Keep an eye on the Twitter page at Trek FM. But let's talk some Voyager. So for our last topic, this was actually your idea, Char. You wanted to talk about what makes Star Trek Voyager, the crew of Voyager, a family.
That's right, because I feel that that is sort of the umbrella topic that has kind of brought us all here. This is what it's all about. Ultimately, I think that is a big reason why Voyager gets the love that it does. We can get behind this message.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing is that when you and I were talking, you know, like we're a fan of all types of Trek, all of it, you know, from TOS to Enterprise. Yes. And so it's so funny because when you look at TOS, the dynamics, at least in the TV show, is very much like in between. It's one-on-one. You know, I'm thinking the relationship Kirk has with McCoy, or Kirk with Spock, or Spock with McCoy, or things like that. And then when you get to TNG, it's like they're all friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all just kind of hanging out. They're buddy-buddy. They play poker together. And so it's a very close-knit relationship, but it's very much feels like friendship. And then you have Deep Space Nine, very much a working relationship. You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's a very good way to define it. I mean, we do have some friendships within that crew, like Miles and Julian, and I would even say Dax and Kira. But yeah, overall, that group, and I kind of think it's a reflection of the cast that we're talking about here, too, where the DS9 set was very serious. The TNG set was... very funny, and they love to laugh and have a good time and not goof off. I mean, they definitely took their job seriously, but they wanted to also have a good time. And with Voyager, also, this cast defined, I think, what it meant for this show to be on top of its premise. I think what ultimately started this whole thing was the fact that they had to come together after a semi-traumatic situation where they lost their first captain. You know, when Jean-Pierre Fujold quit after a day and a half of shooting, there was a lot of uncertainty. There was anxiety. Was this show even going to be made? Were certain roles going to be recast in case they decided to ultimately go with the male captain? Things might have shuffled around. A lot could have happened there. And ultimately, thank goodness, Kate Mulgrew came in and saved the day for everybody, and I feel like once that became set, and once it was very clear, okay, we have our captain, they were already bonded from that experience, from the get-go. And so going forward, carrying that through, I feel like this cast came together before any of the other casts did. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think my perspective is mainly from an in-universe perspective. You know, like when you look at that, because like when you said traumatic experience, I thought you were going to talk about being lost in the Delta Quadrant.
Oh, and, I mean, okay, yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the position that I'm coming from, is very much in-universe, like with Deep Space Nine, working relationship, TNG, all friendly and everything like that. With Voyager, it's family because they don't have access to their actual families. You know, they do not get to call home like they do in Deep Space Nine and TNG and TOS and everything like that. They don't get a subspace channel to Starfleet or to the Federation. They're on their own. They're the definition of being on their own. So when you have a group of 175 people and they're stranded together and they're united by a common goal, you're going to have relationships that go beyond friendship and go to the realm of family and sometimes beyond that. And I'm hearing Guinan in my head where it goes beyond friendship, beyond family. You know, it's just things like that. And so it's just, so that's the perspective I'm coming from. And, you know, like we can talk about this until we're blue in the face saying, oh yeah, they're a family. But the thing is, the examples of just even the idea of I know you don't like this episode, but just take it from this perspective, the idea of Fairhaven. Tom created this world for the rest of the crew to relax, same as Sandrine's. He didn't create it just for himself. He created it with the thought of, hey, you know what? The crew would really like this. Let's even expand this into the other holodeck. That would never happen on the Enterprise. That would never happen in Quarks. That only happened on Voyager because they're all in this together.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this in the last episode where they had to kind of create their own fun because that's all that they had. And backtracking just a little bit to the fact that you're relating to the fictional universe, what we saw on screen as opposed to real life, what I want to argue is that what happened behind the scenes with the actual actors translated to the actual characters we saw. There's parallels. They reflect one another. And yes, I would say that both went through some trauma, and that alone is going to unite the crew. But one other thing we really need to mention before we go any further is the fact that we started with a divided crew. We had Starfleet and Maquis, who had to come together. And they did.
Yes, they did. And very quickly. Yes.
Maybe a little too quickly for some. But you know what? They still did. Well, that alone contributes to the contribution, I feel, of this overall family feel. But I feel like Voyager kind of started out with that whole idea from the very beginning. I feel like Jeri Taylor especially had that vision. When she was in charge of season 3, I felt that's sort of like when the crew really, really started to come together as a family. They were sharing more... intimate is not quite the right word, but there was a little more to it there. They were bonding.
Speaking of season 3... you know, the opening of season 3 is Basics Part 2. I mean, that's out of the frying pan into the fire type situation where they had to bond even more. And then you jump ahead just one more episode to the shoot. And that shows Tom and Harry's relationship just completely skyrocket, where if that doesn't bond you to another person for life, that situation, I don't know what will.
You're just clearly not meant to be friends with that person, I think, at that point. However, it solidified Tom and Harry for sure, because they had friendship from the very beginning anyway.
Yes, yes. And then you have something like Sacred Ground, still like only the 7th episode of season 3, where Janeway goes not just out of her way, but risks her life and limb in order to save Kes, someone who is not even a part of Starfleet or the Federation, just an intergalactic hitchhiker. And yet, you know, she knows Kes's value. And even if Kes didn't have any quote-unquote value to the ship, she would still do that because this is her family.
Right. Yes. The one thing that Voyager had going for it that the other crews didn't need to have is a sense of community. And I guess with maybe DS9 being a station, you have a community aspect, but it's different. This is a much more close-knit community. There's far fewer people. They have only each other to rely on. They have to work together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this, I mean, they kind of know that this is it. Now, one thing early on that I feel that Voyager was going in the right direction with initially and then sort of veered off the wayside was the idea of this could be a very long journey home. We might need to make this a generational ship, furthering this idea even further and even more intimately. I mean, we're talking about people pairing off and everybody knowing who is boffing one another on Deck 9, Section 8, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we definitely should have seen more of that. We should have seen more people pairing off, getting married, having children.
And yes,
because
I agree
in
so
seven
much.
7 years is a long time. Seven yeah. years is a long time. And so I have tons of friends who have met and had children well within the 7 year mark.
Yeah, and here's the thing is they started off with that. We saw some couples making out in the turbo lift. Janeway and Chakotay talked about it. It seemed like people were embracing the idea that we might be on this ship for decades and we may yeah. never see home again, but let's embrace what we have now. And then for whatever reason, as we got further along, they just dropped it. It just, with the exception maybe of Tom and B'Elanna, there's not a whole lot of mention of a whole lot of other couples. There's not mention of a whole lot of other people getting married and definitely not nearly enough kids.
No, that's the thing. I was just about to say, I really wanted to see a Voyager nursery, and I wanted to see people having to take turns in the nursery. I wanted to see Neelix in the nursery. You know, it just, that episode writes itself.
That would have been the cutest thing, is like Neelix rocking a baby, reading a story or something.
Yeah. And you, aww. Like, you see, like, like Janeway goes in because she needs Neelix for something, and he's like, "Oh, hey, you know, like, can you take a you know Ensign blah blah blah's baby real quick? I gotta go run out." And she looks just completely uncomfortable with the baby for some reason. Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I doing with this?
Right. It starts wailing, and she's just no, Neelix, you can have it back. Yeah. I mean, that's that whole thing said. Captain Janeway is a very nurturing person, but I have a feeling that would be a great comedic scene. Just to have her thrown out of her element a little bit. Like, maybe something serious is going on the bridge and she's just not in this mentality. But yeah, they should have definitely embraced this a whole lot more. And I get it. The whole Hollywood mentality, working with kids is not an easy task. We did have Naomi Wildman, who was portrayed by a fantastic child actress, Scarlett Palmers. So they were in a good situation there. And I have a feeling that's why they used her so much. We had the Borg kids. Not necessary.
Not the best move.
That's not how we needed children on the ship. Mm-hmm. No. But, oh well, I feel like they started off great on this whole thing and really just abandoned it for some reason, which chipped away at the whole idea of what I feel Voyager was going to be all about in the first place.
Yeah, We definitely could go down the road of missed opportunities, but it's, I think the Voyager crew, with how we have perceived it, how we've been presented it in how many episodes? 167? Is that right?
No, it's like 172. I also don't want to go down the road of a ton of missed opportunities because there's a lot to celebrate here, but I felt it was important to acknowledge that. Let's move on now to one of our happier things. How about our command team?
Yes.
I feel like this is a big part of why there was a unified force just from the very beginning, because Chakotay said those fantastic three words, "She's the captain." And mm-hmm. from there, we all know that he was sunk. But he was also a very good and loyal first officer. And we did see at times that he was not afraid to confront her when he thought that she was wrong. That right. is a good first officer. And it's good for a captain to have somebody who's not just going to be your lapdog. So those two, dare I say, are one of the best command teams that we have ever seen.
Yeah, it's we've been blessed with great duos in Star Trek, you know, like Kirk and Spock, Picard and Riker, Chakotay and Janeway. I feel like it's, you know, like you get into some weird area with Sisko and Kira. I think I liked them separately more than I like them together. and with Janeway and Chakotay, I thoroughly like them together, obviously, if you've ever listened to the show before.
Right, like we kind of have, I don't know, the whole TTJ back catalog full of every time we want to drool over Janeway and Chakotay. And we did, and we do, and we will.
I know, I've never shipped two people harder than Janeway and Chakotay. None ever in
really?
The history of fiction. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but Janeway and Chakotay was definitely like my first relationship or experience. And then from there, I was just kind of, I got into other realms, but Janeway and Chakotay has always stuck with me through the years. I still ship them. I ship them hard, and I wish them nothing but love.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was the same way, where I didn't know that was a thing until much later online, where, you know, like when I was younger and I was watching TV, I'd be just like, oh, hey, you know, that'd be fun if they got together. And then I would just move on, you know, like I wouldn't dwell on it, wouldn't think about it.
So you watched Resolutions and you basically just said, oh, okay, I guess that's not going to happen.
No. I'm talking about other stuff, like other things.
Oh, okay.
Like, but with Janeway and Chakotay, that was the first time where I was just like, why aren't they doing this? Why are the writers doing this to us?
Now, were you feeling that at the time when the show was airing? Because yes. I certainly was. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I was. I was. And then it was amplified by you and by doing the show with you.
You're welcome.
Where, like, you showed me all of these missed opportunities, and I'm just like, damn it, you're right.
Right. Yeah. And then all the subtle cues, too, that we were given even before there was an actual, I don't know, given like real possibility in Resolutions of them getting together.
Yeah.
I was a diehard shipper. I was a part of the Jetsy group, which is Janeway and Chakotay with the French conjunction. And it was a big thing. There was the whole Janeway and Chakotay in 96. I mean, it became this thing. And I feel like that's an instance where almost maybe that part of the fandom influenced the show itself, because people were writing in letters and arguing for the cause, saying, hey, look at these two, freaking look at them, make them kiss.
I was just about to say that, where you're just like, you have these Trekkies at home, they have their Janeway, action figure, they got their Chakotay action figure, and they're like, okay, now kiss.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, how many Janeway and Chakotay action figures has that happened with? Let's be honest, millions. And that's a completely accurate number, by the way.
But yes, so that's obvious with the Janeway and Chakotay relationship kind of goes beyond family, maybe family in the marriage sense. But then, of course, you have Tom and Harry.
Tom and Harry, bros for life. Serious bond with these two from the very beginning. They established their friendship in Caretaker, and it was pretty much just all uphill from there.
It's true. Yeah. Caretaker on. You know, with Deep Space Nine, like my other favorite male-male relationship on Star Trek is O'Brien and Bashir, but they had their ups and downs. They had to build to that bond. But with Harry and Tom, boom, episode one, Caretaker. One of the first scenes, we see them together, and it's a friendship that never ends.
That's right. It was clearly built to last, because nothing broke this friendship. Nothing.
And then you stay on the Tom aspect, and then you have B'Elanna, of course. You know, you have just like the Tom and B'Elanna was the marriage that we got to analyze and dissect and journey with. And you have B'Elanna and her relationship with Chakotay, usually much early on. In the seasons. And you have a Tuvok and Janeway as that inseparable pair.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to dwell on missed opportunities, but those two things sort of went by the wayside just a little bit. They could have really kept those bonds super strong, but I felt like other dynamics maybe got into play, like with Tom and B'Elanna and Janeway and Chakotay, that sort of maybe, for screen time aspect, we got little stolen moments almost sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And with Neelix, who would you pair him with? Like, since we're pairing off right now in relationships, what, Tuvok or something? Or what?
Well, I mean, aside from Kes, because that's who he was with at the very beginning. But yeah, I would say Tuvok is ultimately, they were the odd couple. And they kind of loved to hate each other, and they had that dynamic going. It worked. It was pretty good for the most part. What did you think of Neelix and Tuvok?
It worked. I liked it. It was good. It was there were certain times when it got a little exhausting. It was kind of got a little repetitive, and especially with the episode Rise, where I'm glad that they confronted it.
Yeah.
In Rise, like I'm glad that they actually had that conversation, because I was like, okay, maybe we'll be able to move forward in this friendship or anything like that. But yeah, I think I liked it, and I liked the whole odd couple angle. And one thing that, as we're talking about this, not just with the pairs, but you know, whenever there was a board meeting, I was thoroughly entertained. Which that is, I very rarely get to say that in my life, but it's. It's true with the Voyager crew, because whenever they're around the table and they're discussing what to do and where to go and how to do it, I was always thoroughly entertained with we have all these different types of personalities interacting in one room. And I'm thinking of like Year of Hell and even like Course Oblivion, even though that wasn't really the crew, was still their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They did things together. They celebrated together. They mourned together. They did everything together. They were in the mess hall. They celebrated holidays together. It wasn't just people pairing off or like people in little cliques like Geordi and Data or you know, like, or anything like that. It was all together more often than not.
Right. I think that comes from being a singular ship way out in the middle of nowhere, a long way from home. And, we either do this together or we destroy ourselves, and they chose to stick together. It's nice to see that, though. I mean, it could have completely gone the other way, though, especially with maybe a third of the crew being renegade Maquis and then the rest of them Starfleet. And if they wanted to really disagree each other and wreak havoc, they could have. Some people would argue that maybe they should have. I don't know. Is that really in the Star Trek spirit, though? I mean, we've said before on this show, that's Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, we have said that a lot. We have said, like, if you want people at each other's throats, if you want people vomiting because they drink too much, then watch Battlestar Galactica. But there's got to be a middle point. Like, Voyager could have used a touch more of Battlestar Galactica, and I think Battlestar Galactica could have used a little bit more Voyager as well.
You know, one thing that I really liked in the earlier seasons was when they used maybe so-called Maquis tricks. Like, I remember an early episode where Chakotay uses a maneuver that probably hadn't been seen before in the Delta Quadrant, and it gets Voyager out of this mess. And Janeway says to him, well, you've used that one. You're not going to be able to get away with that again. And he says, oh, don't worry, I've got more. And I want to know what other tricks he had up his sleeve. I mean, as a member of the Maquis, I mean, they had to really kind of make their way with what little they had. I mean, we saw that in Caretaker, where B'Elanna's working with a 35-year-old rebuilt engine, and she can finagle her way through any engineering problem as a result. It takes a lot of just kind of like good common sense knowledge to make that work. Well, we maybe should have seen a little more of that on Voyager, where maybe there's a not quite the Starfleet clean way to do something, but maybe it was better in the Delta Quadrant. And maybe we could have had a little more of that sort of fight.
I would have loved to have seen in the last episode, I'm talking Endgame, where Chakotay pulls out, hey, I got an old Maquis trick up my sleeve. And Janeway goes, really? Really? After this long, you're still holding back on us? Really?
I would have loved that. Yeah, I could just see that look too, just seething underneath the raised eyebrow, the huh? Yeah. And just, really, Chakotay, after 7 years? You didn't pull this one out? Are you serious?
So funny.
That would have been great. That would have been great.
We love them in pairs. We love them one-on-one. We love them together. What else do you think qualifies the Voyager crew as a family? One thing that I love about my family, particularly my immediate family, as in my parents and my sister, is that they have no problem telling me when I'm wrong. They have no problem telling me when I'm full of myself or I'm being selfish or I'm in the wrong or I need to adjust my behavior, or even if they're worried about me, if it's not just me being a jerk, like they're actually concerned about me, and so they will show that concern. We have seen tons of that in this show.
Oh yeah, definitely. Many times with many different characters. Like when Chakotay confronts B'Elanna when she's feeling suicidal, basically.
That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah, well, of course, because that's B'Elanna. And certainly with Chakotay and Janeway and Tuvok. And there's several examples throughout all the season, especially with Seven, too. The regard, I mean, Seven will often confront Janeway when she says, look, I don't want to do this. And Janeway says, but look, you must. That sort of thing. One thing that I really want to point out in terms of a family aspect of Voyager is you're mentioning your family, your blood relatives. Mm-hmm. This is very much a blended family, a found family, if you will. You could even say, like, you have the quote-unquote blood relatives as, say, the Starfleet crews and the Maquis member crews coming together. And then you have a couple of other people from anywhere joining up, and they all become a part of this family, like Neelix and Kes and Seven of Nine. Ultimately, they all become a part of this thing. Everybody, it seems, is welcome. As long as they contribute. I mean, you know.
Do you think it would have been interesting to get to see them gain more crewmen like the Equinox? Where the, not necessarily Federation, but where, and it's not like Seven of Nine where we have to focus like three seasons on her. But they, I don't know, they stumble upon people where they, I don't know, they start gathering more people where they say they're like, oh, your ship was destroyed. We can do a couple of different things. Like you could, we could take you to the nearest starbase or to the nearest habitable planet. Or if you want, you know, you could totally like pull your weight here. You're, you know, like, you know, physics. Well, then here you go. You know, take that. You know, and yeah, that way we see a little bit more multiculturalism on Voyager and some aliens regularly on Voyager that we wouldn't have seen in the Alpha Quadrant. And so, again, like I said, like you don't have to focus on an episode on them. You just see them as background characters.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would have loved to have seen that, actually. Like, maybe in lieu of a couple aliens of the week, we have some semi-minor background characters, but they're people who have come aboard along during the journey. And, yeah, they've got some employable skills, and maybe they can fill a niche that is needed aboard Voyager, because as the years went on, too, they lost a few crew members here and there.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, that actually would have been a very cool and good and maybe you could even argue necessary thing. But then on the other hand, it's not like they're just, you know, it's not like you can pull aboard just anybody and everybody. There is a limit. I mean, it is a small ship, but a couple of stragglers along the way, a couple of alien orphans would have been awesome.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that would have been very cool, and it adds to the whole found family thing that you're talking about. And one filmmaker that I really like about how he handles found family is Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's so good at this.
Exactly, yeah. If you look at Buffy, look at Angel, especially Firefly, like if you want to keep the sci-fi element, none of them are related except for Wash and Zoe, who are married, but they met through the ship. And so they're all as close as family. They would live and die for each other, but none of them have a blood relation. And when I see Firefly, I see a microcosm of Voyager where they're in space, they're in this together. And yeah, there's only like eight of them, but in Voyager, there's 175. And I got that feeling that they're in this together, like the Serenity crew.
Yeah, no, that's a very good relation to make, a good parallel. It's sort of a similar journey in a way, too, where it's like the cowboys in space aspect sort of a thing. Yeah, definitely. And Joss Whedon, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'd say he's very masterful in the whole bringing people together, unifying them aspect. So, bravo.
So, what? Before we start to wrap up, I want to ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
Has your favorite episode changed from when you first started to the journey?
Ooh. Oh, great question. Now, for the record, did I actually say what my favorite episode was when we started to the journey? Because I don't remember if I said it or not.
I don't think we did, but I know that I made a top five list I think even before To the Journey.
Okay, for Trek FM?
Yeah, for Trek FM.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recall mentioning some of the top episodes even. Because I don't think it's actually changed that much over time. Our longtime listeners probably know what a lot of mine are. I really love, of course, I love Year of Hell. I also love The Killing Game. I am a big fan of Deadlock in season 2. I am, of course, a fan of Resolutions because Janeway and Chakotay forever, bitches. And Eye of the Needle in season 1. Oh, there's so many standouts. Bride of Chaotica is definitely up there. Along with a lot of season 5, because 4 and 5, I feel, are the most consistently good seasons. How about you? Has yours changed? Because I don't think mine has.
I'm looking through, and you definitely have made me appreciate Bride of Chaotica more. I mean, I always liked
it. Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I always thought it was a great episode, but you in your enthusiasm on Bride of Chaotica has definitely shown me like how great it is and how fantastic it is to watch. I'm looking at it. Okay, so January 19th, 2012. Yeah, I wrote an article called The Best of Star Trek Voyager, and I even did an audio version.
Oh, wow. Okay. Back when we did that sort of thing on Trek FM.
Yeah, I want to read the opening paragraph to you guys.
Ooh, story time.
Story time. Most people I've talked to would call finding the top five Star Trek Voyager episodes a game of Boggle. Shake the episodes and just pick five. They're all the same level of garbage. But there are a few, like myself, who look at Voyager and see classic science fiction adventure that has more to offer than just a rainbow-colored lizard chef. So here are my picks for the five best episodes. And so I didn't put these in any particular order, but I have Message in a Bottle.
Oh yeah, also very good.
Year of Hell, of course.
Yeah.
Twisted.
Of course, one of your absolute favorites.
Tuvix.
Uh-huh.
And Jatrell.
Jatrell, you really, really like that one.
I do. I love the message. Would I put it in my top five today? I think I would probably put something else. Like, I would probably put, like, Fairhaven or Bride of Chaotica or Resolution, something like that. Maybe even Deadlock. I would, you know, something like that. I feel like Jatrell is probably the one that I would change, but all the other ones, I would keep on here.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm still racking my brain, thinking, is there anything I'm forgetting? Maybe Shattered would also be up there. Like, if I were to make a top 10 list.
Yeah.
There's just so many things to appreciate for different reasons when it comes to certain episodes. When you're trying to do an all-time and you just appreciate the show as a whole for what it is, like a lot of our listeners do, it is like a game of Boggle. Just pick a few and I'll agree with it because that would be fine, but it's not garbage. It's, you know, Voyager does have its highs and its lows, but overall, I still feel like it's a very strong outing of Star Trek. It's finally getting a lot of love that it deserves. It really was a good show.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, we wouldn't be here if we didn't agree. It's kind of an obvious statement, but it I don't know. We just need to say it a little more often. It's sort of like, you know, when your parents, you hang up on the phone with them, and you don't say I love you, and you're like, oh, shoot, I missed that, you know? And then you got to make up for it next time.
Well, it's funny because we took 190 episodes to say we love this show. And we hope that you guys have enjoyed these past 190 episodes because we have. We've loved every single minute of it. Yeah, were there times when it was hard to podcast, when we had a lot of things going on, and our computers weren't working or life was getting in the way? It was still therapeutic for us. And this was all possible because of you, the people listening, people hearing the sound of our voice. It's because of how you showed love for the show To the Journey, as well as Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah. And especially during those really difficult times where we were not releasing on a very consistent schedule in recent summer memory, let's say. And like when we had to take a week off because maybe one of us got sick or life was just getting too busy. you know, as listeners, you were always supportive and you're like, hey, you know, we get it. We miss you, but we can't wait for you to come back. It's wonderful to have that support system instead of all the hate, because gosh, there's so much hate on the internet. And I've always felt like our listener base has been 99.9% kind to us. And that is an incredible track record. You guys really are fantastic. So we can't thank you enough.
Other people that we'd like to thank is Lori Sears, who we started this show with. Lori is a wonderful person, a lovely person, and just one of those people who is such a good soul. And some of you who start from the beginning and go forward, you'll hear her for the first 50 episodes. 50 episodes, and we wouldn't have been able to do this without her.
That's right. Yeah, she started the show, kicked us off with it. She helped develop the show into what it is or how it started. And I'm still good friends with Lori, and she's doing great. She's teaching her kids and just doing a remarkable job, no doubt about it.
And one other person that we'd like to thank is, of course, Chris Jones, the publisher of Trek FM.
Yeah, without Chris, none of this was possible, and nothing on Trek FM would be possible. This is his brainchild. None of this would have ever come into fruition had it not been for him, and so we've got to thank him. And we've got to thank everybody on Trek FM at large, all the other hosts of the network, the listeners of the network, the people who are on the Babel Conference, and anybody past or present who has participated somehow in Trek FM.
Chris, I'm talking to you right now. This is all thanks to you. Everything that I'm doing outside of Trek.fm would not be possible if it wasn't for you and you seeing something in me. I thank you dearly for everything that you've done to help nourish my own podcast creativity and give me this huge breadth of friends that I now have.
Yes, absolutely. If it were not for Trek FM, you and I would not be friends. We would not have a lot of the same friends that you and I have in common. And you know what? To be honest, I might have never started podcasting, because the very first podcast I did was the Ready Room 22, and we talked about Scorpion.
That's awesome.
And I had no idea what I was doing, and it was Chris and Greg Harbin, and they just said, jump in when you feel like you have something to say. Off we went. That's just what we did. And that got the ball rolling from there.
I want to find the first episode that you and I podcasted together on, because it was on the Ready Room. Uh-huh. And I want to find that and listen to it, because after that, I don't know if I ever told you this, after that episode, I talked with Chris. I called him up. I said, Chris, I want to start my own show. I don't care what it's about. I want Charlene Schmidt as my host, my co-host.
Oh, wow. Now, you have said kind of in the whole TTJ story that you wanted to co-host and do a show with me, but I did not realize it was after that particular moment.
It was after that. It was the first time that we podcasted together. And I've been thinking about doing my own show for a while, but didn't pull the trigger. It wasn't until then where I go, I want someone to do this 50-50 with. I want somebody to not just be like another voice, but to be a driving force just as much as I am. And I definitely found that. And that's when I was just like, yes, go talk to her.
Well, I can't thank you enough for having that realization, because the past 4 years have been awesome. And even more awesome, though, has been the friendship that we have developed over the course of our podcasting careers together. You are a true, genuine friend. I can say that now. And I don't know what I would do without you. I'm getting a little corny here, but it's true. I mean, you're one of the closest friends that I have.
Well, I could say I agree. I could say ditto. I could say all of that. But all you need to do is just listen to the past 190 episodes.
Right. And keep listening to us as we go on to Punch It, because we're not done yet. We also want to give one final shout out to our associate producers. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We want to thank Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belisio, Kay Janeway, and Joo Kim for supporting To The Journey as associate producers. Thanks, you guys. I hope you continue to be associate producers of the show. And if you want to become an associate producer of any Trek FM show, go to patreon.com/trekfm.
We have a little something special for you as kind of a...
We got one more thing.
It's something that we love to do. We do this every single year, but we do it around Christmas time.
Yes. I suppose that all that there is left to say is thank you.
Set course for home.
Justin, what happened to you?
What does it look like? I broke my leg.
How?
Well, you know, I wanted some me time, so I went to the holodeck for some kayaking. A frickin' bulkhead fell on me. What do you think happened?
Hey, keep your voice down. You're not the only one in here.
Yeah, tell me about it. You have no idea what it was like to lay here and whine about my leg when B'Elanna just pushed a baby Klingon through her body.
Okay, so I know how you broke your leg, but I'm still not seeing the why.
Well, when the Borg attacked and the captain called all crew to battle stations, I went to mine, and then danger ensued.
Isn't your battle station turbolift control?
Hey! Turbolift control is an important job. Where would we be without turbolifts, huh?
Nowhere, that's where.
You could beam.
Anyway, first torpedo to the hull and the bulkhead caved in and pinned my leg. I was out of commission for the whole fight. I'm assuming because you're not all veiny and gray that we won.
That's right. We are in the Alpha Quadrant, buddy.
I honestly didn't think we were going to make it. Were you on the bridge?
Yep.
Did you see Earth?
Yes, only through the view screen, though. I haven't seen it with my own eyes yet, and that's why I came down to see you, and that's when I heard you were hurt. Okay, I'll help you up. Let's go.
Okay, I'm gonna lean on you here. Be gentle.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So, was it awesome?
The fight?
Yeah.
You know, I should say that it was dangerous and we should respect the situation we're in, but no, it was seriously awesome. We were running away from the Borg, then we were in that conduit, and then all of a sudden we were inside the sphere that was chasing us, and boom! We came flying out of the debris, and then there's all these Starfleet ships on the offensive, ready to attack! And then they see us, and we have this collective, what the hell just happened moment after they hailed us. I mean, it was all so surreal.
Wow. I can't believe I missed that.
It's okay. I mean, I think most of us are still in some state of disbelief here. I mean, the reality is just sinking in.
Are you worried at all about what it's going to be like? I mean, I've always wanted to get home, of course, but we've been gone so long, I'm worried about it being too different.
You mean, like, walking into your parents' house only to find out they completely redecorated it and it looks nothing like how you remembered it?
Maybe a little bit, but 7 years is a long time to be away. We've changed. Our friends and family have changed. Even the Federation isn't the same.
Nope, not even the same uniforms.
Oh man, Char, I can't wait to get those new uniforms with the gray on the shoulders and the jacket. Oh!
Whoa, hup, steady there, I got you, easy. You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Those uniforms are just so cool. I'm tired of these pajamas. Do you have any plans?
Beyond the immediate plan of catching up with friends and family, I have no idea. I don't really have this Alpha Quadrant bucket list that everybody else seems to have. Do you?
I don't know exactly yet, but I'm thinking of starting something new.
Are you thinking of leaving Starfleet? I figured you'd die with those pips on your neck.
Almost did a few times.
You know what I mean.
I know. No, I'm not going to leave Starfleet just yet, but I think there is more out there for me. Something more than this gallant trek through the stars, as it were.
So, this is it? Once we depart Voyager, we're gonna part ways? I'll miss you. What do you think this new thing will be?
I'm not sure yet, but we could both figure something new out.
Something new with you?
We work well together. We put up with each other this long. So what do you say? Figure it out together.
All right, buddy. Let's do this. Let's start something new. Okay, we're near the window. Are you ready for this?
No.
Just a few more steps. I can almost see Space Dock from here.
Char, these past few years...
I know. Same here.
I don't know if I could have gotten through all of this without you.
It has been quite a journey.
It has.
To the journey.
To the journey.